This is To The Point. A Rhino Experience. Voted one of the top home services marketing and operations podcasts. Cutting through the bullshit and getting to the point.
Hey, what's up, To The Point listeners? It is your boy, Chris Yano, the host of To The Point Home Services Podcast. And we are doing something a little bit different. This is actually going to be part one of a four-part series on trade marketing magic playbook. We're going to open up the playbook, but it's not just Rhino's playbook. It's some of the most successful home services company in the United States of America. So we want to open some of these things up with some people who have a lot more knowledge in it than me in the digital marketing space. And this particular one's going to be around traditional print. Now, listen, don't stop listening if you don't do either one of these things, okay? That's actually the opposite of what you should do, because there are plenty of things that you should be doing that our guest is going to share that they've done successfully that will help you. You just might not know what it is you're supposed to do, the frequency, the content, or anything about it. This is when you're going to find out. So I am excited. I'm excited because Leland Smith told me multiple times that I need to have this guest on. Now, he might be a little bit biased, but Leland's a pretty sharp guy, and Leland's my buddy. And Leland has been on this podcast before, and that was episode 75. It was him and Frank, and Frank and I go way back. That was a great podcast. I just love having Leland around. He spoke at Rhino X in 2021 and 2022, and he's coming back in 2023. And I'll tell you, some of the post-event surveys I get around Leland Smith are fantastic, because that dude is an open book. He shares probably more than he should, which makes him one of the best guests on the panel. So I love having him. But he has said, hey, Chris, you have got to have Katie on this episode, on the podcast. You got to do it. So today, Katie, we made his dream come true.
Katie's a lot of hype.
The CMO at Service Champion Southern California, one of the finest female leaders in home services marketing in Southern California. I cut the next part out, because I don't really know if that's how you roll or not, but I know you played tennis, and those tennis players, you know, sometimes got to wear the short shorts. But listen, I've heard so much good stuff about you. We've had a couple of conversations. I'm excited for this. And it's your first podcast.
It is.
Are you ready?
So thank you. I think so.
17 years you've put in at Service Champions in Southern California, and it is a phenomenal brand. You've done some really amazing things, and that's why Leland speaks so highly of you, and I'm excited to share it with our listeners too, and I'm excited to be your first podcast, you know, because I guarantee you 100% from this one, others are going to start reaching out to you, because listen, the herd mentality is real. People want to follow the beast, the biggest. Service Champions knows all about it. People always try to be like Service Champions. So let's do this. Let's jump it right in and let our listeners know, how the heck did you get into trades, Katie? How'd you go from playing tennis at SDSU? Right. And now you're in the trades and doing marketing for 17 years.
I know. I actually feel very privileged to work for and under, you know, Leland and Service Champions and under Frank. So it's 17 years, but it actually, you know, feels like it's only been a short amount of time, if you can believe it. But out of college, I actually worked for a sports marketing company for a number of years. And how I got into the HVAC industry and specifically Service Champions was actually through my brother. My brother worked for Service Champions almost from the very beginning.
What did he do?
He started off as an install apprentice, and then he worked his way to being a service technician and a service manager. And now he runs, you know, the install department, et cetera. So
he's still there.
He is still there.
Super cool.
I know. I feel really blessed to also be able to, you know, we work in different buildings, but it's lovely to be able to, you know, see him on occasion and just, have that. So he's been here actually obviously longer than me, but he was the one that just, it was in 2005 or so that said, you know, Leland's looking for somebody to do marketing. And at the time where I was at, I wanted an opportunity to, you know, expand and grow. And I wasn't necessarily getting that. And I wanted to just branch out. And so I interviewed with Leland. And as you know, 17 years later, I'm running the marketing. So
from sports marketing to home services marketing.
I know. Who would have, if you would have told me this 17 years ago, never would have believed it. actually learned the marketing, you know, from Leland working side by side with him. And kind of our running joke is that literally hired me and then he ignored me for almost a year, which was probably one of the best things that he could have ever done, because I got to really understand the operations of the business. And so from that point on, I was doing, you know, the marketing, but also heavily involved in the operational side of the business. And I think that's just one of the best things, that best opportunities he could have actually, you know, given me.
Okay. So I have a couple questions around that then.
Sure.
So I initially thought you were going to say he ignored me for a year, and you're kind of just wondering like, am I doing a good job? Am I doing a good job? Don't know if I'm doing a good job. I got to keep pushing.
Well, yeah, that was it. I mean, he would come out and talk to me, but he, you know, if you talk to him about it, he'll tell you, you know, he's tried to show me, you know, DataQuick back in the day of how to pull addresses. And he showed me one time and thought that was it. I got it, nailed it. And I remember having to go back to him and be like, you know, can you slow down and just show me one more time? And, you know, Leland, you know, he's humble and great, but he has, you know, high expectations as well, which makes him highly successful. But that was kind of our start. So
you got threw into the mix and you're one and just said, here you go. Here's all the things. Do you know, and if you don't, it's totally okay. 17 years ago, like what size was Service Champions at that time, roughly?
You know, that's a great question. And I think about that and I don't know the specifics. I want to say it was like, you know, he had to have been around the 10 million or, you know, a little under 10 million, because I know that he did, you know, he wanted to do, I think 5 million and he did that in like 3 years or so. So
got it.
Had to been around that 10 million mark. And I know that, you know, our club membership, obviously, you know, we have quite a few club members now. It was, you know, at the beginning stages and things like that.
Well, and I know that's something that you guys do a phenomenal job of marketing too. And I'm interested to talk about a few different things. And even though we're talking, we're going to start off with the print side of things too. Mm-hmm. We are going to get into traditional and just some, and what traditional looks like today and the experiences you've had. I mean, what's kind of neat about this whole thing is you came into it really with no real expectation of what is, I mean, you had to learn the trade, mm-hmm. and you still were kind of growing up in your marketing skill set, mm-hmm. in the trade. So you've kind of been through this. I mean, it's 17 years. I mean, I've been doing digital marketing now 15 years for the home services industry, and I've learned a ton, but I knew digital going into it. So I didn't know the trades. I kind of got sucked into that. So I'm curious to dig into some of these things too, because you have so much, it's not like I'm just talking to someone who's been in the you know, marketing manager, I use air quotes, for 5 years for a home services company and has had some success. And I know quite a few of those people, you've had some tenure to this thing and you've tried a lot of different things. So there's a lot of knowledge behind the things that you do today, a lot of data that supports the decisions that you do today from when it was a smaller company to the beast that it's become today. So I'm intrigued to tap into that with you. And are you ready to go? Ready to get into it?
I'm ready to go.
Let's do it. Hey, so far so good. You're crushing.
All right.
In regards to print, how much of like, well, first off, let's just touch high level in regards to print. What is it that you guys are doing today that you're going to continue into 2023? Just like high level, boom, like direct mail. Like what are the things?
It's really direct mail.
Okay.
I mean, yeah, we don't do, we have in the past, but currently we don't do any like shared service mail. It is directly to homeowners, you know, single family owner occupied homeowners.
Okay, perfect. So, and I've heard all about this amazing direct mail campaign, by the way. Like I've heard there's something so amazing to this thing, and this for sure could be Leland doing what Leland does. I'm blowing it up, but
sure.
I have to believe there's some good tactics in there too. But what I want to get to first is with the direct mail specifically. And by the way, to all of my digital marketing lovers or even our customers, just because I don't do it doesn't mean I don't believe in it. I absolutely believe in it. I believe in all things, but different reasons, different things for different people in the different scenarios. So this is where having somebody good at marketing is incredibly helpful to help guide you. But I do think that I've heard a lot about some really successful direct mail campaigns, but I look at it from two different lenses. So how much of it for you guys at Service Champions is the strategy for existing customers versus attracting new customers, mm-hmm. or is it, or what? So what is that plan for you two? Is it two separate things, or is there only one of those that you're doing? What's it look like?
Yeah, it's a great question. And before I answer that, to backtrack, I always refer to when you talk about, you know, direct mail and things like that, you know, Leland built the company really on direct mail, and he will tell you himself, he hates direct mail. He will never open a piece of direct mail, but he has built this incredible company off of direct mail.
Noted.
So most of what we do is to prospects. And so that's folks that have never used us before. And so we're trying to reach those new customers, but we definitely touch our customer base. And so, because we feel like that's, you know, in a lot of cases, it's an untapped resource. You've already spent the money to get them to call you. You've already had, you know, a technician in the home that's already started to build that relationship. You know, they know the company, they've used you. So what's the point in spending a lot of money to go out and attract new when you have them right there as well? So we take that into consideration, and we market our customers a couple of times each season for sure. It's a consistent thing that we do.
Got it. Okay. So that's what I was going to ask you is in regards to frequency, because, mm-hmm. and does that change based on anything that like can happen? I mean, or what's the frequency? Yeah. And because you guys are multi-services. So like, mm-hmm. what's the frequency of that you guys are like, just tell me a little bit more like about the strategy on when you're sending these things out.
Yeah. I mean, again, it's a couple of times a season, and it depends on what's happening in that season.
Right.
And so, you know, say we want to hit them three times a season. And that's pretty consistent for us. You know, that's, you know, every 6-7 weeks or so, and you can pop in more. But that's a pretty consistent basis right there, with your core offerings. And then we do cross offerings, right? So the main thing that we go in for is, you know, a maintenance, but we also tack on something plumbing, or if we're, you know, wanting to push, you know, marketed leads, or, you know, some folks call them no charge estimates, we can put that offer in there as well. But our core offering is typically the tune up, and that consistency we feel like, you know, needs to be there. We will pull back if, you know, as with many companies, if, you know, you have a lot of weather and you're not answering the phone calls that are coming in, you know, we aren't going to force a mailing out.
Of course.
We're not going to, you know, spend the money if we can't answer, you know, a lot of the calls that are coming in already organically from, you know, weather related.
Yeah. Because then you're going to have too much demand, and then you can't be a service champion. See what I did
there?
That's
right.
That's pretty good. Hey, a question for you.
Sure.
So you mentioned like the frequency of like whether it's three, is there like a specific, now I get you're in Southern California, mm-hmm. But is there like, if our listeners are saying, oh, just to get an idea, is there like, hey, we do it in, August, we do it in like, is there a certain like month that, you know, like, hey, like clockwork, if everything is normal, this is the month we're going to send out that first piece. Like, is there one of those that you can share?
Yeah. So we typically wait until, you know, for us, we wait until after the shoulder season, or sorry, after the shoulder month. Right. And so, you know, in September is typically a shoulder month for us. We'll wait until sometime in October, and we throttle it depending, you know, if the weather's going to drop a little bit, we might kind of plan it to drop right around that time when there's a need. So, but we usually wait out the shoulder month in each season.
Got it. Okay. And going into winter, I use air quotes for us, and going.
Yeah, quotes, but the weather is still not on your side. So you're technically still in shoulder, but you're not in like the real shoulder, as we call it. So for us, it's like a September, and it can be like a February. And so that's where we, you know, rely on, you know, running a lot of our club member calls and things like that. But again, with touching your club members, it's really what works for the business, because if we see a need where we need to pull forward that mailing for some particular reason, we don't hesitate to do that. I mean, again, it's the customer, they know you, right? And so to get in front of them, for us, it's really successful. And so we use that to our advantage when we need the calls and things like that. So again, pulling forward into a shoulder season, I don't necessarily think that there's a right or wrong. It's just paying attention to the business needs. And then also, you know, what that weather's doing.
Yeah, perfect. So in the digital marketing space, we have the same thing. You know, we have, because it's been 15 years, you recognize the patterns of when the shoulder season is, to know when to switch gears from, you know, heating to cooling, cooling to heating, whatever. Mm-hmm. So we have the same type of mentality. It's just, we try to get ahead of it before the shoulder mm-hmm. season for us. Mm-hmm. So that way we can try and take advantage of the post season, where we've got about a 3-week gap where we can still fight for install business because it's post season. Mm-hmm. The mentality has went to, I can get it for less because demand is less. And it's the same thing pre-season going into whatever. So, this kind of functions the same way. It sounds like, well, you've kind of got like a set thing.
It does. And also it depends on the capacity of the business, right? I mean, we, you know, at Service Champions, there's so many technicians that are running, and we balance, you know, club member maintenance calls with, you know, the quote unquote cash calls. And so it's a balance. And again, it's what works for the business, because, you know, years back, we would hit the customer base prior to, like, in that shoulder season when we needed the calls, right? And then that would kind of get us through. And then we would get busy with weather, et cetera, and we could pull back on everything. And you leave room for those, you know, quote unquote, cash calls to come in, which is what you want, right? You want your technicians to run all those opportunities. Right. Just where we're at now in the business, you know, we have a lot of technicians who would kind of keep that engine going. And so therefore now we're hitting them, you know, multiple times. And we have the technicians to be able to run the calls. So,
yeah. So think about this though, like, you weren't always in that position. So, mm-hmm. you know, if you go back even say 10 years, mm-hmm. when maybe you don't have that type of demand, which is probably where there's a big chunk of our listeners that are like in shoulder season, and they freak out because you start to slow down, which, by the way, demand is demand. And when the weather's nice, you can't force people to search. So it's like, but this is just another lever that you can use to help get you through that period. I have a couple questions I want to ask on that specifically. Are you sending out the same messaging on that direct mail piece? Like year over year, is it the same thing? And if you are, what is it around? Is it around maintenance? Is it around, like, do you do anything that's towards the straight like the install lead or the sales lead or a financing offer or anything, or a pre-sale to the upcoming? What is the messaging that you're putting out there on it?
I mean, for us, again, it really depends on the business needs of where we're at, so we can change it. It's typically around our maintenance, which the tune-up, et cetera, that we're pushing out. Mm-hmm. It's usually the same message, just it looks a little different each and every time. But we're not, you know, again, we can put multiple offers in that piece too. So we can change it up again, depending on the business needs.
Got it. Okay. And so what are you doing to track it? Just to know like that it's working to continue to do it over and over again.
Yeah. So we have tracking phone numbers on all the pieces yet. So that's huge for us because, you know, we love to, as you know, with Leland, he loves numbers, right? Yep. That accounting background. And yep. So, you know, we track everything and we look at the results. And if there is a piece, you know, that is not working for us, then we, you know, we'll drop it out of the mix. And we're not opposed to testing at all. I mean, we like to test. And so we test a couple of pieces every season. And again, we test via tracking phone numbers, and we do an A/B test to really get true tracking and true results. And if we find that test piece is doing really well, we'll test it again the next season. And if it does well in two seasons, then we consider putting that into the mix for the next year.
Got it. And now is any of this stuff trickling down to some of the other brands within the Service Champions family? Like, cause a lot of the other brands that are involved are, some of these guys are my buddies, mm-hmm. you know? And so I'm assuming everybody's trying to work together to try and find like the best thing, but you're kind of like the one that's making the analysis, doing the testing, making the decisions. Like, is it rolling down to everybody? Are they feeding anything up to you? Like, how is all that working out?
It's great. The shared learnings that we have together is one of the best things. I mean, every single day we are constantly learning, but there's, folks at the different brands are using pieces that we test here at Service Champions and vice versa. And it really depends on the brand and it depends on that market. But we definitely share all of our ideas. But it comes down to where the brand is at, the capacity and the needs of the business. And then we tailor around that.
Got it. So I want to throw this out there because I get asked this question. And in my world, the digital marketing world, you can track everything. So it's pretty cut and dry. What's new? Because at the end of the day, what I have to pull in is new customers. And I need to know exactly what I spent to get a new customer. And I needed to know exactly what the return is on that new customer for me to continue to keep my job, as that is what I'm tasked to doing. So we can use call tracking numbers, and in here we have, human beings that listen to every call. So that way we can identify, was it legit a new customer versus repeat? So mm-hmm. I can split them out. What's the booking rate per PPC for drain cleaning? What's the booking rate for PPC for HVAC? So that way we know like all those details, like the Leland Smith report to digital marketing, this is what this would look like. Cause he likes to analyze all the numbers but it's facts. So in the direct mail piece of it, the call tracking number is by far the simplest tracking tool to throw on there. So now you know more than me in here. So I'm just going to throw this out there. The whole QR code thing was something that I saw some people putting on there where you can almost scan it and book right from the direct mail piece. So I've heard pros and cons to it. But to me, it's an option. And then whatever the unique offer is on that could be one way to identify how well that worked. And of course, if you blanketed a particular neighborhood or something like that, then you would start to see some of those things. Is there any other way? I guess another way you could do it is if it was the domain name you put on there, which I don't know if people are going to do that today. It'd be easier just to scan a QR code, but you could use like a unique domain extension that then you would say, okay, well, I noticed that was promo 1-2 and there's the referral links that came in. I mean, I'm talking like from a marketing brain is I would say, the referral links and how many of those came from the direct mail pieces versus a QR code versus a call tracking number. Because I'm analyzing things like you are. I want to just see the facts so I know what to continue to do and what not to do. In home services, speed to lead is everything. Chirp stands out by transforming your communication strategy. With Chirp, accelerate your lead response time with instant SMS text messaging, email, and ringless voicemail automation. Chirp's cutting-edge technology ensures you're the first and the most persistent, helping you close more deals than ever. But that's not all. Say goodbye to missed opportunities with Chirp's incredible follow-up system. Keep your leads engaged and moving smoothly through your sales funnel without lifting a finger. And with Chirp, deep integrations with top CRMs like ServiceTitan, HouseCall Pro, and Jobber, you can launch laser-targeted campaigns to connect with the exact right leads at the exact right time. Automation creates efficiency. Efficiency unlocks scalability. With Chirp, you can automate speed to lead, estimate follow-ups, rehash, abandoned call follow-ups, canceled job follow-ups, review requests, outbounding to your list, annual reminders, membership expiration follow-ups, and so much more. So stop chasing leads, capture them, connect faster, and close more deals with Chirp. Contact Chirp today and elevate your communication game.
Yeah, I mean, before we had, call tracking numbers, all right, and we're able to track it that way, this is back in the very, very beginning, Chris, but it used to be a name on the piece, right? Call so-and-so. And so the call taker, our CSRs were trained that, to book and they knew which, ads, we call them ad sources, right? To plug in to then be able to track it. And then we went to, there's a code on the bottom right hand corner of every piece. And so every time the CSR would say, okay, you have that letter in front of you, what's the code on the bottom right? And then we would track it that. I mean, there's just so many different ways that we used to track it. Now it's just, phone number. And then of course, our CSR is ask as well. So, for us, the end all be all is really of all the calls that come in, It is how many you actually run is very important to us, because it kind of cuts out everything else. Because if you don't have a technician walking into that home, there's nothing, you can't gain any revenue from it, right? You have to have the technicians passing through that doorway. And so one of the biggest things that we, you know, look at and that I've learned from Leland is what is that cost per call ran or that cost per appointment ran, and what's the revenue that you've generated from it?
Got it. Yeah. Super important. I mean, because that's the best way you can see this thing full circle is if you know what you spent with whatever, you know, company who's doing your direct mail pieces, you got your call tracking number in place. I'm assuming you guys are using ServiceTitan.
We are.
So mm-hmm. So you can, that attaches to your ServiceTitan. So you can see, you know, closed revenue or, you know, end result cost per acquisition and also like average ticket, like all the things are in ServiceTitan, but you have to pay attention to lead opportunity on the front end. Cause a lot of people get mixed up on, you don't pay attention to that number and you just look at closed revenue and then you make a judgment based off of just closed revenue, not what the missed opportunity was for the piece you ran.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So, super good point. Because you have to pay attention to those numbers, but you can track everything on these direct mail pieces to identify what's new versus returning. Because if they're a returning customer, you're going to see that in your field management software. So you can differentiate the two, and that's the important part. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, this is a question I always get asked, and it's around, well, Chris, what should a percentage of my marketing budget be on digital marketing? Or Chris, what's a percentage of my... And it varies based on the situation that they're in. And nobody likes to hear that answer, but that's the answer.
Right.
Now, there is an answer to that, but it's not a one size fits all. And it's not going to be that. Like, your brand impacts that. Like, your market impacts that. The level of competition in a market impact. Like, there's numerous things. Mm-hmm. But in this instance, do you guys have like a set budget that you have? And I don't need you to share the actual budget, but is there like a set percentage that you know, hey, I know with my marketing budget, I'm going to allocate a percent of that to direct mail or a half a percent or 2% or whatever it is. Do you have something like that you guys run to or at least try to stay close to?
We do try to stay close to a number. I can tell you over the years that number for direct mail has, you know, decreased just because our spend has gotten larger and we have diversified, but we are heavy, heavy into direct mail. I mean, again, Leland built this business around direct mail, but it, as you mentioned, it has to do with the company, the brand, right? And so for us in this area, our media market covered up until a year or so ago, an area that we didn't service. And so it didn't necessarily make sense for us to, you know, go on to broadcast and things like that at that particular time. And so we were much heavier on direct mail and our percentage of our overall budget was much higher than it is now. But we definitely look at it. I look at it year over year. I mean, we're full into, you know, budget season for 2023. We're in the mix right now. And I certainly look at, you know, the percentage that we've spent on direct mail in a prior year versus this year. And if it fits the strategy of where we're going.
So what is it? What's the percentage?
So we typically, as of right now, currently we're, you know, in between the 30 and 40%
of your total marketing budget. Right. And again, she's sharing this from her perspective, her company, but at least you have an idea of scale versus what yours is. So, okay. Mm-hmm. All right. But the reason you're spending that large of a direct mail budget is because you understand, you know, definitively what the return is.
We do. And, you know, again, for us, it works. But I will say, you know, and we talk about this a lot, it's the operational excellence too, because you can put out the pieces, you can get that phone to ring, you can, you know, book those appointments, but it's what's done on those appointments that really creates that success. And so a large part of it is the success that our technicians have in the home. They're the ones that are building the rapport. They're the ones building the relationships with the clients and the offering the options, you know, so that's a huge, huge factor in this. I mean, direct mail is very expensive, right? Yep. Postage continuously goes up. Right. Paper costs are going up. Service fees are going up. It's, you know, you might offer a $99 service or whatever it is in a piece, but it's costing you $200 to $300 every time you run that appointment. So you have to have, you know, the technicians that can actually go in there and, you know, offer things to customers and get that job done and sold.
Max value. Yeah, of course. Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely. It makes perfect sense. I know one thing I remember hearing Leland say numerous times is just the high standard of that call and the customer service that comes along with it to max value and max education to that customer when you're in the home.
Yeah. I mean, we really are about building relationships. We're in the relationship business, and we aren't, you know, we train our technicians and our customer service. It's not about a one and done for us. It is long-term. We want to be able to go in there and service a client and have them use us again and again. And if they choose to replace, you know, their equipment at that time, great. If they don't, we want to be there when they do. And right. So we are playing the long game with everything. Right. And for us, it is truly about building the relationship and setting us up for success.
Yeah. Playing the long game. I mean, yeah, I get it. A lot of people, I think, gloss over the long-term value of a customer. Mm-hmm. So last thing I'm going to ask you in this print piece, and we're going to move on, okay? Sure. And I'm always curious to know, is there any particular like piece that you put out there or offering? When I say offering, I'm not necessarily even talking about like a discount. I'm just saying in general, is there any one that you've done that you know just like stands out as like, hey, this was by far like one of the better pieces that we put out? And it could be a particular time of year or time in what's going on. But is there anything like that stands out to you that was like a really great piece?
You know, there's nothing that's like, oh my gosh, this is the silver bullet. I don't believe that there's a silver bullet, or otherwise everybody would do it and right. Everybody would, because you get into direct mail and then people get out of direct mail because it's so, expensive, et cetera. Yep. We're just very consistent at what we do. And we mail almost every single week of the year. And so it's not that there's a piece or there's an offering. There's pieces that obviously work better when the weather's on our side. Right. I would just say that, customer base, I think that's a big thing that sometimes is untapped, right? And we've seen that in some of the companies where they're always looking for new, but, sometimes we forget about the folks that we've already paid for that are not club members. And that for us is, the lowest cost per call ran, et cetera, to get back in the home. So.
Got it. So it's not even really so much of a like particular offer as it is just the consistency of the messaging. Mm-hmm. Because Leland Smith will tell you, because he learned this at Rhino X this year when he was hanging out with his buddy, Mike Tyson, that Mike said in the Q&A I was doing with him that consistency kicks determination's ass. Mm-hmm. And this is one of those cases where consistency really matters. And so it's not so much the individual offering itself. It's just consistently doing it over and over and over and over and over, because you're also building brand, and brand creates comfort, and comfort helps you take a decision with that person that makes you feel comfortable that you don't want to call in the first place, but at least you know who to call when there's a problem.
That's it.
Gotcha, man. I'm learning a few things. I'm getting some stuff figured out. Okay. I'm going to segue, unless there's anything else on print that I didn't ask you that you want to cover, into some traditional stuff. You cool with that?
I'm good. Thank you.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Joel, for that piece of it. Now let's roll into traditional. Again, listeners, I don't do traditional. I'm a believer in it, though. I think that you have to do all these different things. But when you think, man, I don't want to, like TV, all I ever heard is it's really expensive. And it is. Mm-hmm. Or radio can be really expensive. Yes. So you have to be very intentional with what you're doing and make sure that it makes sense for the phase of the business or whatever phase you're in with your business. So, because you've had now 17 years of experience of going from the smaller, let's just say 10 million up to whatever the heck Service Champions is. And now I think, is it past the half a billion mark with all the brands? And at this point in time, it's gotta be massive at this point in time. But the cool thing is you've been through the whole phase of this thing. So mm-hmm. I'll be curious to know, like, what is your philosophy just on, And by the way, maybe just give the listeners an explanation of what traditional means, like just a high level of what traditional marketing is. Mm-hmm. And then the best way, your philosophy on the best way to use those channels.
Yeah, I mean, we look at traditional as like, you know, radio, TV, billboards, et cetera. And again, for us, it took us a number of years to even get into TV. I mean, Service Champions, again, was started in the year 2000, right? We're in at the end of 2022. We just recently got into TV last year, solely because of our service area, because at the time it didn't make sense. And so we did not want to pay again for the areas that we didn't cover, right? But we've been on radio, I believe, since 2009. And again, that's 9 years into, you know, where we were at in the business. And the reason that we went on, you know, we started with one radio station was because we found one that had a really loyal listenership, and we had the budget to create frequency. And that was a huge thing for us, right? You don't want to, one, you want to have enough budget to be able to reach folks a number of times over and over and over again. You want to have the loyal listenership so that you know that you're hitting that same person. And it has to make sense for the budget and where you're at. I mean, we look at the traditional pieces of, again, radio, TV, et cetera, as branding. And for us, it's about getting our message out. I mean, it's a great thing when you have, you know, 15, 30, 60 seconds to be able to tell a story, but it has to make sense. And for us, radio made sense. And then we are, you know, tacked on TV, which I'm very happy about that we can finally, you know, get all that coverage. Wanted to do it for a number of years. Now we get to tell our story and build our brand even more. And so for us, it's a great thing.
With radio, what's interesting about it is there's obviously so many streaming services today, podcasts like this that people are listening to and bypassing radio. But here's one thing that's interesting is that I actually still listen to the radio, which when my 16-year-old gets in her car or gets in the car, she's like, what are you listening to? Like, it's weird that I'm not listening to my playlist, or I'm not listening to, you know, like streaming service, whereas she's immediately to her playlist. So, but it's interesting to think how my brain has shifted, because as I've gotten older, I'm 43, which is still very young, by the way. I have started listening to more talk radio, and I'm almost embarrassed to admit that, but in my defense, it's only the Arizona Cardinals network, just so I can listen to what they're going to do to stop sucking. And I need to hear it. But I listen to all the commercials on it, right? Because if you're like listening to talk radio, like you're kind of already programmed to listen to the talking and not so much like the music that would make you, you know, move around from station to station. But do you have like any sort of like set plan on those different stations that you're going to that, you know, are like, hey, these are the ones that we hit? Do you have that game plan in place? I'm assuming you do.
We do talk radio. So now we have three stations. We just added a one more recent, and there's two talk radio, and then, you know, one just general, so to speak. And, you know, we have different times, right, in the day that we want to hit. And again, for us, morning.
Drive home, drive in.
You got it. Again, for us, it's about frequency though. Right. And so, making sure we get the most bang for our buck, and, not having it spread out across seven stations where somebody's hearing you, you know, on a frequency of, you know, once a month, yeah. Right. You need to hit them again and again for it to make sense. And for us, it is about building the brand. And so it's the consistency of being in there, you know, 52 weeks a year.
Yeah. So two key things there on what you're saying. One is you heard you say frequency multiple times, because that absolutely matters. And you'd be better off to hammer one versus spreading it yourself thin across others because of that frequency piece. You need them to hear that message multiple times. And like me, I'm not listening to, you know, I'll listen to talk radio the leading up, you know, the Friday before the football games start, and then that Monday and Tuesday afterwards, depending on how the game went, if I want to listen to it or not. But I will start to shift into, you know, this particular podcast rolls out on a Tuesday. So hopefully you're listening to that on your drive in. Some of you are, and how you doing? Good morning. But I don't listen to it the whole time. So you have to continue the frequency because you don't know necessarily when they're going to be listening to it. You can get an idea based on drive in and drive home. Mm-hmm. And then you just keep hammering it over and over again. And by the way, you need to look at traditional like this. You cannot look at it as lead gen. Like you can't just say, sweet, I'm going to rock this thing out. I'm going to throw on a commercial. I'm going to throw on radio and poof, like here comes all the lead volume, because that's not how it works, especially out of the gate. But it is great for branding. Like to me, it is it's very much a branding tool, and you need to think of it from that perspective. You can't say, oh, well shit, my digital marketing cost per lead is X, but my TV is this. It's not the same. You cannot, that's not apples to apples. You have to use traditional as a massive branding effort and that be your expectation.
Yeah, agreed. I mean, it's something that it's very easy to, you know, give up on, right? And you have to go in with the mindset that you're in it, you know, you're in it for that long-term, you know, plan, and you're going to commit, right? It's about the commitment to it, because it does pay off. It just, you know, I can see where people get scared, right? Yep. It's a lot of money. And I, you know, we spend a lot of money on these different things, right? In these businesses, and marketing is a, you know, a big expense, right? Depending on what your percentage is to the overall revenue. And I could see where it just, where you kind of get a little nervous and then you pull out. But you know, for us, we just, when we do it, we made the commitment, we're in it. And we, again, look at it as this is our long-term plan of building our brand. You know, I wish we could have done it, you know, years back. And so, that's kind of where we're at with it.
Well, and really one, you kind of said it, but you have to stick with it, because mm-hmm. ultimately a branded lead is the cheapest lead you can get. I mean, next to a repeat or a referral like lead, but like obviously the more branded leads we can, the lower the cost per lead to acquire that customer. So you want those things, but it doesn't just like, you have to commit to these things. You have to be consistent and you have to keep doing it. And you mm-hmm. can't just do it for 6 months and be like, oh, this sucked, and give up on it. Because honestly, right. that's what the majority will try and do, which is what makes those that stick with it become successful with it.
Yes. Right. Yes. Right.
So
right.
Now you guys aren't, now actually hang on before I ask this next question. Is there anything in particular in that messaging that you're hitting on? Is it just what is the messaging in there? Just kind of like high level on what you're trying to throw out there in either a spot or whether it be a radio spot or a TV spot?
Yeah. I mean, if you, you know, watched our commercials that are out there, it's more about what you can expect to experience from our people. And it's more about, from a consumer standpoint, what they can expect when a Service Champions technician comes to their home, and the type of people that will be in your home. And so that's really, you know, our messaging that you can see throughout our commercials.
Perfect. So you're basically going all in on trust, building trust and credibility, and not so much on savings or even speed to service.
Right.
Got it.
Right.
Okay.
All the people.
So then are you doing anything with billboards?
No, I mean, we have a very small billboard outside of, you know, one of the branches, and that's really just, you know, for, you know, employee and goodwill and things like that. I mean, not for us, you know, we've decided to put our marketing dollars other places. You know, I think the question that we always ask ourselves is that, you know, if we had a certain amount of money, where are we going to get the most bang for our buck? Where are we going to reach the most people with the frequency that we want with that consistency? And have we maxed that out in the different mediums? Because, you know, for us, again, it's about telling a story, and we feel like we can do that with, you know, the different commercials, the 15s, the 30s, the 60s, a lot better than we can do with, you know, a billboard.
Yeah. Because a video can create an emotion, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that can make you create an emotion based on a couple things, not just what the content is, but the tonality of the call, the content. Like there's multiple things that can create this emotion in somebody that mm-hmm. brings comfort to them. And ultimately not just like comfort in the home, but comfort in the heart to choose that contractor that is brand. But, it makes total sense. Like there's obviously plenty of contractors that have a million
Absolutely.
Billboards around there. And it's another form of a branding effort that you can do. I mean, and but it's the same thing too, right? Isn't it kind of like if you're going to go down that path, frequency matters?
It does. Yeah. Yeah. And there's some, you know, there's some brands under the portfolio in their area, it works. Right. And so it's just for us, we've chosen differently and we've kind of taken a different path, and not to say that we're not going to, you know, tack that on at a particular point when we've, you know, feel like we can absorb that. But it's just, you know, not right at this moment.
Got it. Makes sense. Again, situational.
Absolutely.
But again, you have to approach it from the lens of it's not a straight direct like lead gen type tool. So you can't look at it that way. And by the way, don't cram the billboard full of stuff. I'm like, can we agree on that? Like, you don't need to cram the billboard full of stuff.
Yep. You got to get it at a glance.
Exactly. Okay. I want to ask you two more quick questions and we're going to roll. We're already like 45 minutes into this thing. Can you believe that?
I cannot actually.
I know. Right. See, told you. So I think one thing I just want to ask, so our listeners can take this thing away. And again, I understand this is from your perspective, but think, you know, put yourself back into like, maybe you're those shoes of a $10 million contractor. And if you can, I get that maybe it's kind of hard to go back there, but even go to 20, 30, doesn't matter, but kind of take yourself back a little bit. I've got 100% of my marketing budget. Okay. I still need to create my own demand and I still need to work on some branding. I got 100% of my marketing budget. Give me a ballpark of what you guys would be, or what you would recommend from your experience to spend on the different channels. Again, this is from your perspective, your experience. So this is just a ballpark, but I want you to, the listeners to have an idea of the way you think with the business in Southern California.
Well, you know, in our area, just kind of going back and like looking at the history of really what we've done. I mean, many years back, I would say 80% to even 90% of our marketing was for direct response, trying to get that phone to ring, because without that, you know, you don't really have a leg to stand on, right? You need to make sure that you're generating those calls.
And direct response is?
Well, it's that those direct mail, right? And it's to the customer base. It's the digital. It's the things to get the phone to ring, right? And then the other side of it is that 10 to 20% of the brand. I mean, for us, you know, years back, it made sense. We were branding via the newspaper, you know, because we had our local paper, right? We couldn't get into TV and it was before radio, and that's what we were doing. And then as we continued to grow and grow our club memberships, you know, those percentages change. Yep. But for us, it was, you know, we needed that phone to ring and we were doing it via, you know, all the things I mentioned, right? It's getting out there digitally. It's getting out there and making sure you're in front of people when they have that need, and kind of forcing it, right? Instead of waiting for people to call you.
Got it. So that percentage has to change based on where what the life cycle of your business is in, and really it could even be, what's your goal? My whole philosophy has been, if you're sitting, you're going to finish this year, and you're a home services company, you're going to finish this year at 10 million, 20 million, let's just say 20 million. And you know, hey, at the end of 2023, I now want to be at 30 million. You need to put your mind in the place of as if you're a $30 million company and treat your budget that way. Mm-hmm. But you got to track this stuff. Like, that is the key ingredient to making the theory of what you need to do to be 30 million start to become a little bit more tangible, because now you got the facts to back it up. So what I heard Katie saying is this 80 to 90% was on direct response, meaning you got to feed the, like you got to get the technicians in the home. So you can spend money on the direct mail pieces that forces direct response. You can spend the money on digital marketing like PPC, which is a more immediate one. If you don't have any, if you're a newer company or you have minimal SEO and you're not in the maps or you're not doing anything, hit the LSA stuff hard, which we'll talk about another episode, but that's another form of direct. Yep. But you got to feed those things. And the majority of budget was going to that, because without that, if there's not enough of that volume coming in from your branded effort, you got to subsidize it by going after this direct response stuff. but you still do need to continue to work on your branding all along the way.
Yeah, absolutely. You cannot. I mean, that's such a huge piece that you can't just pick up, you know, years down the line. And at least for us, I mean, it was always a part of what we were doing. And then it's just the percentage has grown and grown and grown over the years. It's just back in the day, it needed to start small, but it was always there. Right. And so we've just been able to tweak those percentages now.
And you didn't just get lucky. You stuck to it. You're in arguably one of the most competitive markets in the United States of America, Los Angeles. Like, it's a massive, I mean, I'm talking about Service Champions directly. Mm-hmm. Hugely competitive market. Like, some of the most competitive markets from my perspective are that Southern California market here in Phoenix, the South Texas markets, same with or South Florida. Like, these are incredibly competitive, warm climates, long warm climates, very competitive, lots of major metros. So you didn't just get lucky, you stuck with it. But we all know Mr. Leland Smith loves to track those numbers. So there was not a whole lot of guessing at some point going on. It was very methodical. And that is the world that you can live in, listener. Like, it does exist. So all these theories that you hear on different podcasts or go to these different events and hear these things, when it comes to the marketing space, there certainly today is ways that you can track it to find out, what am I spending? What am I getting in return? What's the revenue? Does it make sense? Yes, I keep doing it. You can start to play a predictable slot machine at some point, right? Mm-hmm. So that's the game you're playing right now. Kudos to you. Hey, was this fun? We got through it.
We did. It was great.
That was fantastic. Well, thank you for sharing that stuff too. And what I would like to do too is just, you know, anytime with our listeners, if they want to connect with you, my suggestion is, you know, like, you know, use the professional platform of LinkedIn. If you want to connect with Katie, that way, I'm assuming you'd be okay with that. Yep. If they want to ask you any questions or just get some advice from you and I want them to be able to do that, because there's no way you can take away everything from this and like start to comprehend these things. And if you took away one thing, and that is understanding of what the print versus traditional space looks like, then that's a win. We can move forward with that. But I mean, the whole purpose of this podcast is just to give them something that they can start to latch onto. And this being the trade marketing magic playbook, you know, you don't have to hang your hat on some particular savings to be the, you know, a race to the bottom on costs to get to have a promotional thing to put out. Sometimes it's just putting the right message out there about the credibility of your business and the consistency of doing that is the plan that you do. Mm-hmm. And you can do that at different scales. As you get bigger, you can do it smaller. You can hit one particular neighborhood and hit that neighborhood over and over and over and over, but track it. Right. So you know exactly what's working. Katie, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
I'm excited. It's good we finally got to do this.
It is. I really enjoyed it. So thank you.
I need to think about what else I can pull you into that's in my world, so we can talk through that more.
maybe you can talk to Leland next time he's there.
That's it. Well, that's exactly what I'm going to do. Well, listen, thank you. Thanks for giving me an hour of your time and joining us. I'm so glad we finally made it. We probably talked like 2 months ago trying to figure this thing out. So I'm grateful we did it.
Me too. I am too. So thank you.
Listeners, take advantage of it. Reach out to her. She knows what she's doing. 17 years in the home service space doing marketing across all these different channels, from a smaller company into the beast that they are today. So please tap into that knowledge and take advantage of it. And listen, if you're not already following this podcast on Apple, Android, Spotify, streaming, YouTube, whatever it is, what are you waiting for? Do it. Get it done. Right. But those that already are, thank you. We really appreciate you. So I'm going to finish the podcast off real quick with just a review. And this one is a 5-star review from Ed Wilberg. Hopefully I said that right, Ed. And this is, all your podcasts, I use air quotes, bring it all caps. Bring it. Wait, I wonder what it is. Is it the content? Is it the guest? Is it the clown? It's Halloween. Pennywise. Whatever it is, Ed, we're going to continue to bring it. I enjoy listening to how your guests have built businesses, but I love how you push for their look into the future of the trade they are in. EW, in God we trust. Amen to that, Ed. Thank you so much for the review. And listeners, leave a review. And guess what? If something you loved about Katie and you want to leave a review for her as well, we're going to share it with her. I'm sure she'd love to hear it. This is our first podcast. We got to pump her up. get you educated. Katie, thank you so much. I appreciate it. I'm glad we finally got to get this thing done.
I am as well. Thank you very much, Chris.
Leland is going to be so proud. I cannot wait. All right. Listeners, thank you so much. Listen, she gave you a lot of little nuggets. You don't got to do everything, but you got to do something. No 0 days. Listeners, thank you so much again for listening to this podcast week after week. We are extremely grateful. Again, the whole purpose of this podcast is to give back to the home services industry that we love so much, whether you're a rhino or not. We really, really appreciate all the subscribers. And if you haven't subscribed yet, please go in and subscribe and you'll get all the episodes sent to you automatically weekly. Also, we have really enjoyed your feedback. It's so meaningful for us when we get to read the nice comments that you guys put. So keep doing that. And if you don't know how to do it, here's what you got to do. You search for To The Point Home Services on Apple Podcasts. You click on our profile, scroll all the way down to the bottom, and hit write a review. And be honest and share your story and how the podcast has impacted you and your business. Thanks again from the bottom of our hearts at To The Point Home Services Podcast. We appreciate you.